In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, light, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Brent Marchant, author, Get the Picture, Conscious Creation Goes to the Movies. And now, your host, our MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Wow, there's such a buzz going around about the Oscars. And, of course, our guest tonight plays into that really beautifully and why he's on tonight, because of the Oscars. And we're going to be talking about movies, which is what's being talked about, of course, throughout a lot of the world. Even though there are things going on in the world, like in Egypt and all over the place, but movies are talked about a lot anyway, and especially during this time because of the Oscars coming up next week, and especially here in Los Angeles, especially where I live, because Hollywood is just down the street from me, and already last week on the way to a meeting, they were setting up bleachers for the big event, and also there was what else did we have? Actually, all week there's things happening, and streets are starting to close on this day. This closes on that day. That closes, all leading up to the big Oscar thing, and that's not just going on at on Hollywood Boulevard, but it's also going on in a lot of restaurants. A lot of places are planning big events, and a lot of friends are inviting a lot of their friends and me to come to parties before and after and during. And I'm getting a lot of, well, did you see all the movies? No, I didn't see all the movies. Well, you have to see all the movies, because then how are you going to vote? And it's like, well, I'm not really a voting member of the Academy. And it's like, no, but if you come to our party, you have to vote. Or even if you don't come to this party, you should send in your vote via email, so that all these people are getting into it. And I'm feeling a bit of pressure because I didn't see all the movies that are being nominated. And it's pretty funny to have this pressure. And I think, you know, so many people, they're not really talking about, you have to see this particular movie because it really made me feel this way, or it really highlighted these ideas, or that person's performance made me feel blah, blah, blah. No, it's because they're being nominated, you have to go see it. Even if I don't care about the subject matter or the actors or anything, because they're being nominated. And I thought that's pretty clever of the Academy, or maybe it just happened that way. I mean, it's a good thing, and I'm just saying that's interesting. But it's also interesting for those of us who watch the news every once in a while, at least especially here in Los Angeles, but I've seen it in other parts of the world, of course, how when the movies are coming out, it was a blockbuster because it sold so many tickets. This movie beat out the other movie because it sold so many tickets, because the movie made so many millions of dollars. And that's why you should go see it, because the movie made so many millions of dollars. How many industries do you know? Like, when was the last time you went to a gas station and picked a gas station because that's the gas station that sold so many millions of dollars worth of gasoline? But especially movies. I mean, movies, they're supposed to, they inspire us, or they tell a story, or they're, you know, they uplift us, or they scare us, or whatever. Making money for the people that made the movie, that doesn't affect my movie going experience. And yet the news is telling me how much that movie made. And I'm supposed to get into it. Like, okay, well, that's the movie I want to go see because it made the most money. It doesn't matter if everybody ran out of the theater screaming and saying they hated it. It just happened to make the most money because everybody went in thinking it was going to be good or something, or the hype was there. And so it's gotten to the point where even a friend of mine won't go see this particular movie because he doesn't want that movie to make more money than that movie, than the other movie, before the Oscars. Or that reminds me of somebody else, actually, a couple of years ago or a few years ago. A friend didn't want to go see a Harry Potter movie because he didn't want that movie to make more money and get more recognition than the Lord of the Rings movies. And the Lord of the Rings movies are that much better, just on principle, as far as this person was concerned. So nobody should go and put more money in the coffers of the people that made the Harry Potter movies. I'm getting tired talking about this. And I wonder if we could get tired of hearing about this. And I wonder if we could just stop even talking about this. And let's talk about the inspiring performances. How we were moved by a story that happens to be based on a real story, or by a fantasy that happens to be something that ignites our senses, or even if it's something scary or thrilling or adventurous, that it ignited our creativity, or it took us out of our lives for a moment. It's, for me, it's not about how much the movie made. It's not about how many Oscars the movie won. Because those of us who are in the business especially know that it's also pretty political. And it's based on a lot of things other than just really how great an actor was or how really great the music was. And it's interesting, years and years later, you know, you listen to songs that you really like, and then you find out that they were up for awards in the Academy Awards, but they didn't win. But this is a song that everybody still remembers and still loves. But the Academy Awards song is good too, maybe not as good, but that one won the Academy Award. Or maybe it's equally as good, but because this one didn't win the Academy Award, because they can only give out one, which is a whole other scarcity thing. You know what I mean? What's the use? And so there is a use. And I think it's brilliant that our guest today found a use for the movies. That is not about how much the movie made or how many Oscars the movie got, but how the movie can help us live a better life. And I think that's really interesting, especially after all I've just been ranting about. But hey, I like the movies, and I'm looking forward to watching the Oscars, and maybe I'll even cast a vote or two at a party or two. But point is, there's a lot more to life than how much the movie's making or the Oscars, and I have a feeling that maybe more and more of us are going to be focusing on more other things, maybe even more important. So with that, I look forward to talking to our guests about the movies as soon as we come back.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They're acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today, IonWay's Water Systems. Their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter or Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Our guest today is Brent Marchant. Now, he's the author of the book, Get the Picture, Conscious Creation Goes to the Movies. Now, Brent is a lifelong movie lover and a longtime practitioner of conscious creation, also known as the law of attraction, the self-empowering method of manifesting one's own reality, popularized by, for him, author and visionary Jane Roberts. In Get the Picture, the book, Brent Marchant combines these two topics very cleverly, actually, showing how movies can be drawn upon for inspiration and learning how to make use of the conscious creation process in our everyday lives. Please welcome to the show, Brent Marchant.
Well, thank you, Filippo. Good to be on the show. And I must say, I really enjoyed your opening comments. I couldn't have said it better.
Oh, well, I as I was going through it, I'm thinking, I think I lost my point because I'm ranting because it just gets to me.
Well, it's true. It's funny because years ago, you would rarely hear anything about how much money a movie made. And now it seems that's one of the lead stories just about after every weekend on the news.
Right.
What was tops at the box office? Well, is that really the measure of what makes a movie a good movie in terms of quality or even just in terms of the messages it's trying to convey to viewers?
Right. I was planning on saying that no matter who our guest was, but I'm so glad it was you because you of all people would understand you have been going to the movies since you were 4 years old.
Oh, at least, yes.
What were you watching back then? Bambi or...
Well, the first movies I went to were probably the Disney cartoons, the first ones that I went to. But it really wasn't long before my parents started taking me to movies that were, really more grown-up oriented, I guess you would say. Not to the ones that were really racy or anything like that, but certainly to the ones that were of a more intelligent or more mature subject matter than maybe most kids would be going to see at that age.
So how did the movies shape your life?
Well, they were really a great way for me to almost escape into another world. I would be, I'd go to the movies and I'd sit there and just be mesmerized by these images of different places and different times and just totally captivated because it was so in contrast to, the everyday existence I was living. And it just really, spoke to me in a way that... was entertaining and inspiring and enlightening and just always really enjoyed it.
Hmm. So do you feel like you changed because of it? I mean, obviously you're entertained and it's fun and you pass some time and, but does it actually change you because of what you're watching?
Yeah, I think it does. Basically because I think it speaks to our inner being in a lot of ways, especially when you're paying really close attention to it. It's touching parts of your subconscious that, maybe haven't otherwise been touched by other forms of, everyday life. And they just help to bring these ideas forward to the surface that you can help to better understand yourself, understand your world around you. And then also through conscious creation to have ideas and inspiration that allow you to, create an existence that's more to your liking by giving you the ideas and the tools that you need to help shape the existence that you're manifesting for yourself.
Now, since you've seen so many movies and you've really watched them, obviously, to be able to write a book like this, you really watched them. You just weren't casually there with friends or what have you. You're obviously very into movies. Did you see the change in yourself when you came home after watching a horror flick or when you came home after watching a happy film or a comedy? Could you tell the changes in yourself?
Yeah, I definitely could. And interestingly enough, it also told me what movies that I wanted to go see more of and which ones to avoid.
Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, for example, I'm not a really huge fan of horror movies. there are some, I don't mind being scared if there's a point to it, but being scared just for the sake of being scared, just it becomes boring to me after a while. So I look at it and say, why continue to look at movies that are going to end up feeding fear as part of your belief system? And I think that's what a lot of them do. So movies like that, for example, I tend to stay away from. But, you know, by the same token, movies that are going to feed me spiritually or metaphysically or just in terms of general inspiration, you know, I'll see as many of those as you want to put on the plate. And they can come in any number of forms. They can be comedies, they could be dramas, they could be biographical pictures, you know, even science fiction, documentaries, virtually anything.
I'm just trying to picture you leaving the theater. See, because I don't go to a lot of movies, and so I'm fascinated by your interest in the field. And I, of course, I have a lot of friends who are interested as well and who see a lot of movies, but I've never thought to ask them. So I'm watching you leave the theaters each week or however, whenever you would go. And how do you interact with people based on the movie you just watched?
Well, it depends to a large degree who I'm going to see it with. hopefully, if I've gone to see it with friends who appreciate films as much as I do, it almost always inspires a lot of discussion afterward about what we particularly liked about it, what particularly moved us, and the conversations oftentimes will get quite spirited. They'll get quite enthusiastic in terms of saying, wasn't that a great example of X, or wasn't that a great example of Y? It's really very uplifting, very motivating, especially once you have a good handle on those ideas. You can then say to yourself, all right, now, what can I do to take with these ideas and apply them in my life? You know, what's the message that I can use for my own benefit? And quite oftentimes, you know, there are very good messages that feed into the principles that work with conscious creation and law of attraction that you can then take and say, I want to start using this now to create a reality that's more to my liking.
Right, right. And you're using the movies as examples, and we'll get into that in just a moment.
The movies are sort of like the springboard.
Right. So you're a moviegoer and all that great stuff, and then you discover this law of attraction and conscious creation, and it affects you a certain way where you start to use it for yourself, and people start seeing you be successful in other areas of your life, and they're wanting to know, how did you get to be so successful? And I think this is so clever. You're trying to explain to them how to use the law of attraction, and you used movie analogies. That's so great.
Well, I found even before I wrote the book that a lot of times, just in everyday conversation, when I'd be speaking to people, if I needed to make an analogy to something, I would often find myself saying, you know, that reminds me of such and such a scene from, you know, this movie or that movie, or it reminds me of this line from such a movie. And when I began to use conscious creation in my life to turn things around and make things more successful for me, when I explained the principles just in purely theoretical terms, a lot of times it was like getting reactions of deer staring into a headlight. You know, it was a little too abstract for me to be putting it just in those terms. So I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to be able to make these ideas more accessible to them, I need to put them in a context that they can probably more readily identify with. And given that I have been doing this with movies all of my life in other contexts, I thought, well, why not put them together? And thus was born Get the Picture, whereby readers get a book of philosophy and a book of movies, and they're, you know, one hand is washing the other to illustrate the principles through specific storylines and examples from the films.
Right. So, for example, for those people who have seen the movie The Secret, In the movie, as they're trying to explain the law of attraction and how it works, that there in one scene, there's a little boy who wants a bike. And so he does certain things to manifest his bike. And then we see him getting the bike. Now, whether that's a good example that the movie used or not, or whether everybody can understand that or not, is arguable. But the beauty here is that you say, well, wait a minute. There are all kinds of examples out there in movies we've already seen, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's one of the things I liked so much about The Secret, was that it really took these principles and made them practical and accessible. And I thought, you know, why not do the same thing using other films that are out there? The way the book works really is it's a kind of a roadmap for people to understand the process, taking them from the point where they theoretically know little or nothing about how conscious creation works to the point where they can become, you know, good practitioners of it, and walking them through all the different steps along the way. So in that respect, the book is not really so much a catalog, it's more of a roadmap, taking you from point A to point B and showing you all the destinations along the path to get there.
And using examples that most of us know of, films that most of us have seen. You know, the first example that comes to mind, actually, I'm trying to remember if it's in the book or not, and I'm sure it is, but the first example that comes to mind is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes. Yes, that's in the book. It's actually in the last chapter. Basically because...
Yeah. Not yet.
Now you've got something to look forward to, right?
Don't blow the ending for me.
I would never do that.
Okay. Of course.
No, but basically the idea with conscious creation is the idea for practitioners of it to become more quote-unquote conscious of using this process in their lives to manifest what they want. And It's a Wonderful Life is a really good example of somebody who has to go through the whole process of becoming conscious of what he's doing. Throughout the film, the lead character, George Bailey, is spending so much time, you know, making all these plans to do things that never come to naught, and thinking that he's not being a success in the process or not having an impact on people's lives. And yet everybody sees that except him. And that's simply because he has not become conscious of what he's actually doing. And once he does and realizes the richness and the rewards that come with that, well, then, you know, everything busts loose to bring him even more happiness and fulfillment because he's finally aware of what it is that he's doing.
Yeah, and that's interesting because at the time of that movie, I wasn't there, but I don't know if people were talking about the law of attraction.
They probably weren't.
At least not in the mass consciousness.
No, I mean, I think, you know, with a lot of the movies that are in the book, I don't know, I doubt seriously that maybe the people who created these movies were consciously intending to put these messages and these ideas into their films. In more current films, I would say it's much more likely, simply because those ideas have become much more mainstream now, but I doubt seriously that Frank Capra had heard of the term conscious creation or law of attraction, but he knew the ideas that were associated with it on some kind of level to the point where he worked them into his movie, maybe without even realizing he was doing it. And many years later, his film serves as a really shining example of how this process works.
Right. And yet, thank you, Brent, in a sense, and but on the other hand, now that we've brought up that analogy, that film has been around a long time. Since when exactly?
1946.
1946.
And it was a bomb when it first came out, too.
I think
a lot of people find hard to believe is the fact that it was a box office bomb.
Wow. That's office bomb. Thank you. My point exactly.
It was nominated, I think, for 5 Oscars. It didn't win anything, but...
My point exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the end of our show. I'm going to go celebrate.
Thanks. Good night.
That's my point. And here we watch it every year, or at least it's on almost 24/7 during the holidays. Everybody has seen it, and it didn't win an Oscar, and it was a box office bomb. Woohoo! Let's all go to the Oscars. Yes. Okay. Well, all right. Well, the point I was going to make, though, is separate than that, and that is to say that if that movie has been around for so long and these concepts have been ingrained in us, because a lot of us can recite the words of that movie by heart, it kind of bothers me that some of us, myself included, haven't thought we had seen this before until the sequel. Not myself included with The Secret, but, you know, until something like The Secret comes around. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I think, you know, the greater awareness of conscious creation and law of attraction is all part of the greater process of the human consciousness waking up, you know, that people have been talking about more in recent years. I mean, I just thought it was interesting with The Secret. When that came out, there were so many people who looked at it, and to them it was like a revelation, you know. For some of us who've been studying the process for many years, it might have seemed a little basic, but for so many people, this was something that just touched them in a way that they hadn't been touched before. And, you know, it just opened eyes for lots of folks that just never had them open before.
And it happened through a movie.
Yeah.
Which is your point.
Amazing enough.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's also to your point of how movies today are, how did you put it when we spoke earlier, are kind of like the stories in the Bible? Or
yeah, they're the current form of storytelling. And, right. You know, when you look at a lot of spiritual, religious, and metaphysical texts that have come through the ages, they've almost always used story as a means of conveying their ideas. Simply because it's something that, you know, people can relate to. It speaks to them on a very practical, personal, everyday kind of level. And
right.
Movies are, like I say, they're just the latest form of that.
Right. I liked that analogy. I'm glad it came up here during the interview. Well, when we come back after this, I'm looking forward to talking to you about current movies that are actually going to be at the Oscars this week and what you have to say about them. We'll be back with our guest, Brent Marchand, and the book Get the Picture right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio, and tonight's special guest, Brent Marchand, author, Get the Picture, Conscious Creation Goes to the Movies. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Marcy Shymoff, and Barnett Bain on our archive page at our website, lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Remember, you can also connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo, and very soon our own Life Changes Network community, where real people will come together to share real life in real time. Back to you.
Thanks, Mark. I am having a great time here with our guest, Brent Marchand. And Brent, you know, there are several websites where people can get the book and learn more about you and all of that. And which is the primary one you want to give out here on the air?
The best place for getting the book would be to go through one of the online booksellers like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
And as far as getting in touch with me, I'm currently getting ready to launch a new website, hopefully within the next 2 weeks. It's going to be brentmarchant.com.
Uh-huh. Okay, I hadn't seen that one yet, so no wonder
that's,
why.
It's brand new. It's we're getting close.
Okay.
But it should be hopefully up in about 2 weeks. And in the meantime, I do have a blog that I write get the picture, brentmarchant.blogspot.com. And you can also read my current reviews of movies at vividlife.me. And you can read articles on general metaphysics that I write at fengshi.org.
Very good. Now, Brent, have you seen all the movies that are nominated?
I'm missing on one. I kept falling through the cracks. I still have not had a chance to see 127 Hours.
Well, you have a little more than 127 hours
yeah.
to see it. So hopefully you'll get to see it.
But I've seen just about everything else, so.
Okay. And what to you is the best example of the law of attraction?
The one that I like the best in the field of best picture contenders is The King's Speech. Basically, it has to do with learning how to find one's own voice, which is a very important principle in understanding how conscious creation works. To be able to create one's own reality, one has to find one's own inner voice with which to speak at first. And in the case of The King's Speech, you have a character who is doing it both literally and figuratively. And it's a wonderful example of illustrating someone who is on the road to discovering how to make that process work in his life.
Hmm. Indeed. Actually, that's one that I really wanted to see. And I really wanted to see it before we talked today, because being a singer, being on radio, having a voice is so important. And yet having a voice, an actual physical voice, which is what physically the king is struggling with. But from what I know of the movie and what I've heard, it's from what's inside, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing that's so really interesting is that it's taken a premise that when I first read the description of it, I thought, well, that sounds like a winner. But when I went to see the movie itself, I was just totally captivated by it from start to finish.
Wow. Well, I read an article that you wrote, and I get the feeling that you were quite uncaptivated, in a sense, by another movie, which is interesting because one would think that it really exemplifies the law of attraction and manifestation, and that's The Social Network.
Yeah, it's The Social Network. I had kind of a love-hate relationship with it. I thought in many ways it was a very well-made movie, and I thought it was a very good example of illustrating the principle of learning how to manage your power, because conscious creation is a very powerful practice. So it really spoke well on those two points. But for the most part, in terms of the overall picture itself, I had kind of a who cares reaction to it in some ways, because the story of understanding how Facebook came to being just didn't strike me as being a terribly interesting premise for a film. And I think that was borne out with the way the final product came out. It was interesting when I saw the Critics' Choice Awards show back a few weeks ago, when Aaron Sorkin accepted the award for the best adapted screenplay. One of the things that he spoke about in his acceptance speech was the idea of, isn't it wonderful that we have a tool like Facebook that's been able to bring the world together and create another tool for people being in better communication and, better touch with one another. And I thought, well, that's a really great idea. How come the movie didn't really show that?
Because that's interesting.
It really, so much of the movie was about the bickering that allegedly went on between the founders and the creators in terms of who got how much money for what they did, which, you know, to me just wasn't terribly inspiring, but.
Right, and that's the drama of it, that maybe some people think that more people are interested in the drama, and I actually, that is a movie that I did see. I actually thought it was an interesting example of something that I just heard recently. I was speaking to John Volo Melchizedek, who will probably be a guest in the next couple of weeks here. We're trying to secure a date with him. But in talking to him, he was giving a concept that I had not been too familiar with, or at least not in the way he described. And he said, when we create from or manifest from our brain or from our minds, that we manifest in this world of duality. And when we manifest in the world of duality, we can manifest the good that we can see with our mind. But what ends up hitting us in the back of our heads with what we can't see with our mind is the negative aspect or the dual aspect of what we just manifested. Mm-hmm. So he says, just to finish that thought, that it, when we manifest instead from our hearts, from our heart chakra and from love, then we just manifest the purity of what it is that we want to manifest. So watching The Social Network after I had spoken to John Volo, it was interesting to see, well, there it is, because he, the lead character, manifested his Facebook from his great, amazing mind. Mm-hmm. But also, what came and slapped them in the back was the lawsuits and the anger from all the other people, et cetera.
Right, exactly. And to me, that just didn't provide a terribly inspiring basis for a film that you could draw ideas from and use in your life, unless you want to look at it as a cautionary tale, you know, and say, okay, learn to manifest more from your heart instead of from your head. Understand that you need to manage the responsibility that comes with the power that comes with practicing conscious creation, things like that. But in many ways, that's kind of a, you know, it's a negative example of illustrating a point that I think could be done in better ways using a more positive approach.
Right. Since manifestation is oftentimes thought to come from our imagination, from our subconscious, from our dreams, one can argue. What do you think of the movie Inception in relationship to all of this?
I really wanted to like Inception a lot more than I did.
Okay.
I thought it was a really great premise. I don't think it went far enough. I mean, one of the things that conscious creation maintains is that essentially all ideas are possible of materialization, for better or worse. And in the dream state in particular, because you're not limited by the constraints of physical reality, it allows you, your mind, to go wandering and exploring so many different venues that are, again, capable of being experienced and expressed, that I was a little troubled by the movie's kind of constant misfortunate habit of continually saying, here are the rules for how it works. You know, you can do this, but you can't do that. Or it's always this, or it's always that. And that kind of undercuts the idea that everything is possible. So that was one of the things I disliked about it. Another thing, too, is that there were several points in the film where there were characters having discussions, essentially debating the validity of one's reality versus another. It's kind of like, well, my reality is better than your reality, so because of that, yours can't possibly be real. I was a little troubled by that, too, because conscious creation would essentially say we each create our own reality and each one is equally valid. So those were a few things that kind of got in the way, I think, of providing viewers with a better movie of understanding how these principles work. I like the idea that are brought up, the idea that dreams are a place where you can explore possibilities and so forth. It's like, you know, calling the question for readers to viewers to look at. I just wish it had done a better job in terms of getting the ideas across.
Well, there's a there's the other side of it as we're looking at this, the insanity of it all is that the black swan, right?
Yes.
How does that rate?
Well, the black swan is one of those movies that I think a lot of viewers have misunderstood, from the sense that they look at it a little too superficially. Without trying to give too much away here, the way of understanding the film is explained very early on when the theater director is explaining the storyline of the ballet that the company is getting ready to put on.
Right.
If you pay very close attention to what he is saying, you'll understand basically what the film is about. It has to do with ideas of freedom of expression, liberation, things like that, as opposed to looking at things on a more narrow basis, which are easily misconstrued as kind of a downer. So looking past the surface perceptions to the larger questions that they're talking about is an important way for seeing that film and really understanding it. And it's interesting, you know, that I was talking about earlier about not being a big fan of horror films.
Right.
There are some things in Black Swan that could easily creep out a lot of people.
no.
But I personally wasn't really bothered by them in this case because they were in context of the story. So I really wasn't as annoyed by them as I might have been if it was just, say, you know, some slasher movie or something like that that was throwing elements in just for gratuitous sake.
Yeah. You know, creep out is a good word.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. And actually, when we come back, there's one more movie I want to ask you about, and that's Avatar. And I know it's not this year, but I think there that you might have something to say about that movie. And it was so much a part of our lives during that time. And I think it might have more to do with our lives than we even know. So when we come back, we're going to continue with our guest, Brent Marchant. We're going to talk about Avatar. We'll be right back.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes, life coaching, and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, April Crawford channeling Veronica, and Barnett Bain at our archive on our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. I have been having so much fun with you, Brent. I feel like Siskel and Ebert here. only on the conscious level. And you know, I think it's a good idea. Actually, our producer, one of our producers, Mark Lejeur, and I have talked about that. He's listening in, of course, and he's the one reading those commercials. And we've often talked about discussing whether it's movies or whatever it is, but on a conscious level. And, you know, at some point we might have to bring you into the conversation. But we're having one now, and in the few short minutes we have left, Avatar, what did that do for us?
Oh, Avatar did so much for us. It was
or
really...
with us, or to us, or at us.
It was such a wonderful film in so many different levels. And from a conscious creation perspective, it really got into some great ideas. One was showing the connectedness of all things, just the relationship, for example, that the Na'vi people had with one another and with their surroundings. The idea of going within and you can see that just both physically and literally and figuratively with the way the story plays out, that going within, that's where the ideas start that spring forth into the world that appears around them. There were so many different things that movie did that spoke to us on a conscious creation level and also spoke to us on a humanitarian level as well. Understanding about the protection of the environment and respecting, the rights of all people in the world and so forth. Just a really wonderful film in so many ways. And it was interesting in terms of the impact that it had, because there were a lot of people who came away from it, surprisingly enough, actually depressed when they left the theater, because they thought they were so inspired by this world that they couldn't cope with the idea that they couldn't experience it when they left the theater. Mm-hmm. Something that was known as the Avatar effect. It was even talked about online quite a bit. When I first read about it, I was surprised to hear that it was having that profound an impact on people. And I was a little disappointed to hear that they were coming away from it disappointed, because they couldn't recreate that for themselves on an everyday basis. My argument was, draw from the inspiration of that movie and go out to try and recreate that world on your in your everyday experience. Mm. If you've been moved and inspired by what you've seen on the screen, take those ideas, start employing them in your life, and bringing them forth into the reality that you're experiencing. That would be the real Avatar effect to me.
You know, Brent, thank you for saying that, actually, because I, for example, have been told by many people that someday we're all going to be living as if we're in a dream, and it's going to be beautiful, and we're all going to be doing what we want to do. And it's been hard for me personally to visualize what that looks like. Well, lately, of course, I saw Avatar, but I didn't. That's not where I personally went with that movie, but I get that. Lately, I've been experiencing certain friends being in certain places in their lives where every day is a joy for them. And they're really doing well, and their families are well, and everything is. And when you talk to them, it's just very cool. And I look at them and I want to kill them. No, I look at them and I say, that's what it looks like. I want to do that. So the films, and that one in particular, can be that vision board, so to speak, for us. That imagination, that whatever we would call it.
So I agree. And it's interesting that you've got so many friends who are experiencing that kind of joy in their lives, because on some level, internally, they're doing the work with their beliefs and their thoughts to bring about the results that they're experiencing.
Right.
I mean, one of the core phrases in conscious creation philosophy is, you get what you concentrate upon. So if you're concentrating on bringing forth joy and abundance and positivity in your life, that's what you'll see. If you dwell on negativity and lack and scarcity, you'll get that too. I mean, conscious creation is not something that's going to guarantee you a positive result. It's going to guarantee you a result of where you're placing your focus. And that's the really important thing to understand, and that's a big part of the reason why I wrote the book the way I did and chose some of the films that I did, because I wanted to show that it's a process that works for better or worse, depending upon whatever it is going on in your mind and your heart at the time that you're working the process in your life.
Right, right. Well, unfortunately, Brent, just for the record, it's not a lot of friends right now that are in that space. But hopefully through conversations just like these, and through books like Get the Picture, and through movies like the ones that you mentioned, more and more people can be living exactly like we were just describing. Brent, thank you so much for having been our guest tonight. I know you're up in San Francisco, but are you coming down for the Oscars?
Oh, no, actually I'm in Chicago.
Oh, you are in Chicago now. Okay.
I'm in Chicago. Wish I could come down for the Oscars, but unfortunately I'm going to have to wait for my invitation until next year.
All right. Well, we'll tell you how it goes. But in the meantime, look forward to connecting with you again very soon.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Likewise. Our guest, Brent Marchand. To learn more about him, of course, you can always go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Hey, Mark, it felt like the Siskel and Ebert thing.
It was a little bit like that, wasn't it?
So what do you think? I mean, having sat back and listened to us talk about all these movies and all, which is something new for our show, frankly.
Well, you know that I'm a big fan of this topic anyway. I think we place too little credence on the impact of what we watch and see, what we watch and listen to in terms of music or viewing content, television, film, etc. And I think his applying, you know, the lessons or the messaging that comes in those films, you know, to conscious creation is apt. But I think it's even more interesting to really look at what we allow our kids to watch, what mm-hmm. just is accepted as standard, and above that, how we're willing to subject ourselves to fear, which is what happens in a lot of these movies, not just the startling and the being afraid, but I'm talking about suggesting, you know, storylines that suggest things in your life that, you know, maybe you're worrying about a relationship or you're worrying about your job stability or you're worrying about any other, you know, geopolitical situation. And then you watch movies that make you think about those situations and then, you know, people leave the theater and they concentrate on that, as he was saying towards the end of the talk, and rather than, you know, the flip side of that and focusing on the positive.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm really glad you said all of that, but something in particular, I was watching, a friend of mine insisted I watch with her Ratatouille, and I didn't watch very much of it. It didn't get me personally. I don't want to put the film down, but we fall in love with this little rat at the beginning and we see their lives and they're like little people and it's cool. And then all of a sudden this little old lady takes this huge bazooka and starts to blow up everything in her house as she's trying to kill all these rats that we've just fallen in love with or in like with. And I was telling somebody that recently. It's like, why would you jar a child like that? But you know what their answer was? It was, didn't you grow up with Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner and all that? It's like, well, that's true. And I'm still a cool person. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, how much therapy have you gone through to get rid of trauma from Bugs Bunny and the coyote and the rest of them? That's
well, that's not fair because you know me. That's not
But that said, it's funny because before you started on that thought process, I was thinking to myself the same thing. I have a three-year-old, and this is a situation that I've actually been a little bit perplexed by because, yes, I grew up watching a lot of those cartoons. But when I go back to say, oh, you know, I want to share what I watched, and then I watch it with the eyes that I have now, it's not necessarily something that I enjoy seeing him watch. You know, when you really look at the thread of the violence and the negativity and a lot of the, you know, the humor that were the most of the animations that we all grew up with, there isn't a lot of them were built or created during the war times, and so there was a certain mindset, and it's so evident, and it just isn't necessarily a positive influence.
Yeah, and you know, I was a big fan of Charlie Brown and I even played Charlie Brown in a high school play and won Best Actor for doing that. And it was interesting, but I have to think, though me personally, my life as a child could have been likened to Charlie Brown. What about people whose life isn't? Do they not relate to him? Or by watching him and some of the pathetic things that happen or some of the way that he's treated, which is so not nice. I mean, there's a lesson, there's a moral. Maybe I'm reading too much into that one in particular. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm a little more concerned with maybe that's why you don't play football.
You're concerned with the violence?
No, with if you play Charlie Brown, and you know how Lucy always took the ball away when he went to kick the football.
Oh, then why I don't?
So now I made now two and two go together.
Okay, but the analogy is, on the one hand, you know, we're talking about the violence and the kids watching the violence, but what about the kids watching, you know, somebody being pathetic? Because in some ways, Charlie Brown was a social misfit. I mean, it's not just he was a nice person that people misunderstood. There are certain things that Charlie Brown could have been taught by his wah-wah-wah-wah parents that he wasn't.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's two sides to that coin. The kids could either have related to Charlie Brown and to that character, or you know, the birds of a feather kind of situation, you know, the Eeyore effect, where you see the way he's treated and you kind of just accept that, oh, that's the way, and then, you know, that's kind of the way my life is, and it becomes an acceptable standard rather than something to learn from. So it's, you know, there's an argument both ways, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something that I would love to have probably a whole show about. It's too bad Schultz is passed, but I wonder who we could have that can talk about that. You know, or somebody from Disney or Pixar or something, to ask them, what is it that you're putting into the minds of the children, and why? Or are they even of course they're conscious of it. What am I talking about?
Well, like you said, it's probably for a whole nother show.
You're right. Actually, this is all the time we have for this show, but I've had a great time, and I have a feeling we're going to have to revisit these kinds of things again soon. What do you think, Mark?
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, with that, thank you all for listening. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. And I thank you, along with our producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, and our producer, Mark Greger, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, for being part of the show and part of the changes we all wish to see in the world. Thank you, everyone. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.